I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Gaza cannot be continue to be run by Hamas. That simply invites a repetition of October 7th, and Gaza uses a place from which to launch terrorist attacks. It's also clear that Israel cannot occupy Gaza. What I've heard from Israeli leaders is that they have no intent to reoccupy Gaza and retake control of Gaza. So the only question is, is there some transition period that might be necessary, and what might be the mechanisms that you could put in place for that to make sure that there is security?
You're going to have security in Gaza. That was Antony Blinken saying, we're not really sure how it's going to happen after all of this is over with Gaza. Israel has said, Netanyahu said, we will have to have security inside Gaza. We're not trying to occupy it, but we will put security there. And then you have him saying, well, Hamas, he said, we're not really sure what they want. Why don't you read the New York Times? The New York Times is saying they interviewed numerous Hamas leaders, and they say they have no interest in governing Gaza going forward. But, here's the kicker. One of them saying, the top leadership, talking to the New York Times and Qatar, it's necessary to change the entire equation, not just have a clash. We succeeded in putting the Palestinian issue back on the table. Now no one in the region is experiencing calm. We hope the state of war with Israel will become permanent, and of all the borders, on all the borders, the Arab world will stand with us. And they're stating again, they want a permanent state of war against Israel. That means actual fighting, not just disputing and arguing over land. They're talking about continued attacks. Now, prior to the war, Saudi Arabia and Israel had been moving toward a deal on peace and normalization to improve the entire Mideast. That is not what Hamas wants. They want the chaos. They want Israel wiped out from the river to the sea. We will be free. And that statement and others cost Congresswoman Tlaib a censure vote against her. We will get to that a little bit later. We're only going to do 1 hour of Larry Connors USA today, so I need to bring you up to speed on that note-keeping and housekeeping issue. We are only doing the 1 hour from 6 to 7 because at 7 o'clock, the station has the rights to carry, exclusive rights to carry the GOP debate. I will be later going to the Westport Theater in Westport Plaza, joining you and others if you want to show up to watch the debate, a debate watch party, and then after the party, the debate is actually over, then we'll be offering analysis right here on the station. So only 1 hour of Larry Connors USA, and we are packed full today. You don't want to miss anything. So let's go again to this issue about where we stand with stability in Israel. Gaza City basically is under control of the IDF for the most part, above ground. Of course, it's still with the tunnels underground. Less bombing, but more actions being carried out by IDF forces. But Senator Ted Cruz says, you've got to see where this started, and it begins at the man at the top.
We are seeing the consequences of a weak and ineffective commander-in-chief. Joe Biden came into office 3 years ago, and he inherited peace and prosperity. And you look at what has happened across the globe. Yeah. We right now have the largest land war in Europe since World War II. Israel has faced the most significant attack, the worst attack in 50 years. We have a major war in the Middle East. Every enemy of America is stronger. And you look at these 38 attacks. These 38 attacks came from Iran. You know who paid for the drones that are being used to attack U.S. soldiers?
We did.
That would be Joe Biden and the Biden administration that has flowed nearly $100 billion to Iran.
And that was from the oil sanctions that he did not enforce. So, yeah, they had the money to spend. Again, Senator Cruz says, you talk about insane politics.
Appeasement doesn't work. And this president, this Democrat Party doesn't understand that. And their approach, what was their approach? Right after Hamas death squads murder 1,400 Israelis, rape women and little girls, decapitate and burn alive infants. What was the Biden administration's response? We're going to send $100 million to Gaza that'll go straight to Hamas. That is insanity. Stop sending money to people who are killing not only our allies, but killing Americans.
That would be a common sense approach, but you don't get common sense in D.C. nowadays. And then we want to look at, I want to examine in more detail what Cruz said about, keep in mind this was also an attack on America. Now, you might not think, well, they're not actually hitting our soil so far. But they're here in our country because of this open border policy. We're going to get in that more detail later as well. But what Cruz is saying, Americans were among those killed and taken hostage.
October 7th, 31 Americans were murdered. That was not only the worst attack on Israel and the worst mass murder in a single day of Jews in any day since the Holocaust. It is also one of the worst terrorist attacks in history on the United States. 31 Americans were murdered that day. A dozen Americans are still hostages from these animals. And this is, these are vicious monsters. I'm sorry. Anyone that puts a baby in an oven, that is literally what these death squads did. Those are Nazi tactics, and they're carried out for Nazi purposes. They were doing that simply because they're Jews, and yet this administration has funded it, has enabled it, and since this war started, has undermined the government of Israel significantly, including going to Israel and saying, you need a quote, humanitarian pause, which is asking Israel, do not try to kill the terrorists. Do not try to take out Hamas. That makes no sense.
Do not try to kill the terrorists? Of course it makes no sense. And we've told you repeatedly, a humanitarian pause, they are allowing that in the south of Gaza. Trucks have been arriving with food and aid. We don't know that Hamas is letting it get to the civilians. And we also have seen up to 5,000 Palestinians leave through the Rafah Gate yesterday going into Egypt. Egypt really doesn't want them, but they've let some in. Whether or not they have dual passports, I don't know. But among that, apparently, about 400 Americans. But the bottom line is we have a lot of Palestinians still held in the war zone area around Gaza City because Hamas will not let them go. They're shooting them in the back if they try to escape. They want them there as a human shield. They do not care if their own brothers, sisters are killed because it's more propaganda video for them and the blood is on Israel's hands, at least in the opinion of Hamas. Well, because of her remarks supporting the Hamas attacks on Israel, Michigan Congresswoman Tlaib yesterday was censured by the House. That included 22 Democrats who believe she deserved rebuke. But Missouri Congresswoman Bush came to Tlaib's defense.
I rise today in opposition to this censure resolution and in also in opposition to the reckless manner that people in this House speak when they don't realize or don't care that they put targets on the backs of actual people, most of whom are black and brown, because of a lack of care and a lack of understanding and a lack of seeing the humanity of folks who look like Rashida Tlaib. She mourns for the 1,400 Israelis.
The gentlelady's time has expired.
She mourns for the 10,000. And she will not stop. No
more. The gentlelady's time has expired.
No more. Ceasefire now. And she takes the death threats that you all send. That
the gentlelady is no longer recognized. The gentleman from Maryland.
To her, the desire to save lives is greater.
Gentleman from Maryland is recognized.
And what I said.
Yeah, she's going to continue to yell off camera, and I'm going to say it. Now, Tlaib also made a statement from the will of the House. There's going to be a pause in this statement. And at that point, she's crying. And here comes Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez hugging her and patting her on the back like, I'm here. Continue your message.
Anti-Semitism makes us all less safe and worry that your own child might suffer the horrors that 6-year-old Wadia did in Illinois. I can't believe I have to say this, But Palestinian people are not disposable. We are human beings, just like anyone else. My city, my grandmother, like all Palestinians, just wants to live her life with freedom and human dignity we all deserve. Speaking up to save lives, Mr. Chair, no matter faith, no matter ethnicity, should not be controversial in this chamber. The cries of the Palestinian and Israeli children sound no different to me. What I don't understand is why the cries of Palestinians sound different to you all. We cannot lose our shared humanity, Mr. Chair.
She had to play the race card again. And my co-producer, Quentin, reminded me it was not AOC by her, but it was Ilhan Omar standing there patting her like, we're with you. But yes, she got censured, and the vote again, 243 to 188. Four Republicans voted against it, and 22 Democrats did vote in support of censoring her. Censoring is basically a slap on the wrist saying you should not have spoken out like you did. Todd Pirro, a Fox analyst, explains.
As members of Congress, you have a responsibility, not just to your constituents and not just to what you feel in your heart, but you cannot say things that call into question the United States Congress, the United States government, that make our jobs more difficult on the foreign policy stage. You have to understand that when you take that job, yes, we can sit around here on this table and really express our opinions, but that's our job. When you're a congressperson, you have an obligation to your country, and they are not taking that obligation seriously by saying things like Trump would put us in concentration camps. You heard Cori Bush, people are pushing us off of elevators. You can't say that. You can say, I am pro-Palestine, pro-Palestinian, and we can disagree with that. But you can't say the things that they're saying.
And that's why the censure was issued. Now, keep in mind, a censure is just, again, a slap on the wrist, a public rebuke. Doesn't take her, does not expel her from Congress. Now, she continues, they could go that route. But what she has lost is some committee memberships that she had. And that's a good idea because that's one way to punish members of Congress. They do it three different ways. House and Senate can discipline members by censure, reprimand, fine, or expel. So she got the censure. But we could drop more on her. She continues to mouth off and make remarks against this country, basically supporting killing civilians by Hamas. So also today, we've got Secretary of State Mayorkas in front of the Senate, and we know we have an issue at the border, wide open border. Louisiana Senator Kennedy with a question.
How many members of Hamas have come into our country across the southern border?
Senator, I'm not aware of a member of Hamas crossing the border.
Have you stopped a member of Hamas from coming in?
Senator, I am not aware of a member of Hamas being encountered at our southern border.
Have you vetted all of the people who have, all of the 8.4 million people who have come into our country illegally?
Senator, you and I have spoken about this before. As you know, we screen and vet individuals.
Have you vetted all of them?
No. He keeps asking the question, Senator, blah, 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 blah. Well, I love the response that you got from Louisiana Senator Kennedy as Mayorkas continued, blah, blah, blah.
Senator, you and I have spoken about this before. As you know, we screen and vet individuals.
Have you vetted all of them?
Senator, as you know, we screen and vet individuals whom we encounter.
You haven't vetted all of them, have you?
Senator, as I said, we screen and vet individuals whom we encounter at our border.
All right, I want to move on because with respect, Mr. Secretary, to quote a public official in my state, it takes you an hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes, and you try to filibuster us and use up our time.
An hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes. Great line. Then you had Congressman Chip Roy of Texas try to pin Mayorkas down.
Mr. Secretary, there have been over 1 million plus individuals put into proceedings or released into the United States on your watch. I've asked multiple Border Patrol personnel, not the union, mind you, if we double, triple, quadruple the CBP budget, would that 1 million release go down? And they categorically said no, it would go up. Do you agree, yes or no?
I'm not sure I understand your question, Congressman. With the addition...
With the number of people being released in the United States under current law, would it go down no matter how much you increased your budget? And it would not, as they said. Do you agree, yes or no?
Congressman, if I understand your question correctly, when individuals are in the United States and they make a claim
right.
for asylum...
So the number would not go down is the answer, right? Yes or no? That's what they said, and I think you just answered it. It would not go down. The only plan that you offer, the plan you just offered, is to process aliens faster and encourage more to come.
That's exactly their plan. They've admitted that from the beginning. Remember the debates when all the candidates for the primary were on the stage for the Democrat primary? And they were asked, how many of you would support no borders, an open border? And a couple immediately raised their hands, and Biden was kind of looking around, did my hand go up or not? Finally, he put his hand up. So all of them said, we support open borders. If you don't have a border, you do not have a country, period. And right now we're losing the country because we're allowing this to happen. And the greater part that we also have to be concerned about is not just people coming in who are looking for a better life and a job, and they actually want to assimilate and become part of the culture. They're coming not only to change a culture, but to dramatically transform America, turn it more Marxist, communist, and destroy Christians, Jews, anyone who is a patriot. We do not know, after what's happened with Hamas going into Israel, how many Hamas folks are inside our borders right now. Congressman Chip Roy decided, let's drill down on that question with Mayorkas.
Will you testify under oath right now, do we have operational control, yes or no?
Yes, we do.
And we have operational control of the borders, which your own agency sent a letter to my office after 8 months. We sent a letter saying there are 42 people on the terrorist watch list that are in the United States. But you just said to Mr. Jordan, you don't even know where the hell they are. That's what you're saying is operational control,
Congressman,
including entries by terrorists and unlawful aliens? It's not. It's not operational control.
Time of the gentleman has expired.
You know full well.
Time of the gentleman has expired, Ms.
Encouraging people to come here, harming Texas, and harming this country.
Time.
You know it. And you're ignoring
the
actual
truth.
Time
of the gentleman has expired. He no longer has time to slander the secretary.
To slander the secretary. He was asking a question. He wasn't slandering the secretary. But the one who held the gavel at that point was the Democrats, and you're slandering him. Listen, if you don't believe that we have terrorists in this country that have come across the border, you are naive, and you might end up being a dead fool, you or your family. Just put it this way. If you were a terrorist leader and you want to get your terrorists inside the country, you don't have to worry about a no-fly list. Just walk them across the border. All right, as I'm reminding you, we're only doing 1 hour today because at the end of today's program, we're switching you direct to tonight's GOP presidential debate. But we do have a lot more to cover. And in fact, how the elections went for Republicans yesterday and not so good. I'll point that out immediately. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. 4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
Planning a party with family, friends, maybe a business party? Cafe Napoli has four locations, and each has rooms to fit your needs. But a word to the wise, book early. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. Also get some Cafe Napoli gift cards, good for all locations, anytime. I'll see you at Cafe Napoli.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
There's pigeons down on Market Square. She's standing in her underwear, looking down from a hotel room. The nightfall will be coming soon. Oh, my, my. Oh, hell yes. You got to put on that party dress. It was too cold to cry when I woke up alone. I hit my last number. I walked to the road. Last dance with Mary Jane. One more time to kill the pain.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, we had a major decision out of Ohio on this abortion vote, which I had discussed with you the other day that we're going to be watching closely. It was basically Proposition Issue 1 in Ohio, and it was going to basically establish a constitutional right to abortion in the state of Ohio. Now, of course, they used to say Roe v. Wade gave us a federal constitutional right. It was law of the land. That got overturned. And ever since then, that's been a flashpoint between those who are pro-life and those who are pro-choice. Those who thought that Ohio would actually turn their back on a constitutional right to abortion proved wrong. Joining me now with more details, Jordan Boyd of The Federalist. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So looking at what actually is happening now with this constitutional measure being approved, what happens next?
Well, what happens is Ohioans everywhere now are allowed to abort babies all the way through 9 months of gestation. They're also allowed to, children in the state are allowed to make decisions about sex changes, which, as we all know, radical gender ideology, very dangerous, harmful, and frankly, it's a terrible, terrible thing. Only a few other states have done this. And it's a big blow to the pro-life movement.
Yeah, and I'm glad you also added how it brings in the transsexual thing. And it also takes away parental consent needed, correct?
Absolutely. This is a very wide-ranging, sweeping decision. The language in Issue 1 is very broad. So there's a whole host of horrors that can come underneath this language as you know, activists, the people who penned this, the people who promoted it for months and months as they pushed the limits. I mean, they made it broad for a reason. They want to lump everything in their political agenda under this one issue.
Now, there were 3.8 million votes cast. This is basically considered being held yesterday, November 7th. It's kind of an off election day. There are only a handful of states that had anything on their ballots and so forth. So it's almost like they're trying to slip it under the door. Would you agree that's a good assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we know from this race specifically in Ohio is it was riddled with deception. there was a lot of tactics at play to make sure that people turned up to the polls and overrode what has been a significantly pro-life state. I mean, we're talking a Republican governor, a Republican-controlled legislature, a Republican secretary of state, a Republican attorney general. All of these are in Ohio, yet we have this very radical, white-sweeping pro-abortion decision that mirrors something like California. It's absolutely insane, and when you get to the heart of it, it's because pro-lifers were outspent, the corporate media was willing to lie about what was in this issue, and the language is sweeping and wide-ranging. It's broad on purpose.
And in fact, the way the vote count came out, 2.1 million versus 1.6, that's 56.6% saying we're in favor of a constitutional right for abortion. If it had been a general election, do you think that number would have changed?
I mean, you would think. Honestly, polling across America, across Ohio, shows that people oppose radical abortion, unlimited, up until birth, like Democrats have promoted it everywhere and in this issue. I mean, that's what the polls say. They say Ohioans don't support this. So the disconnect there has to say, okay, people either don't understand what they're voting for or something else was amiss. And we're seeing this being copied in states all over the United States. And the pro-life movement is going to have to fortify and work very, very hard to keep this from happening to other Republican strongholds.
Well, to that extent, the Missouri Democrats are obviously cheering on the Ohio abortion vote, but they've got many more hurdles to go over in the show me state. But as you said, it's back on the table for a lot. And the other issue, we thought right after Roe v. Wade in that first election that followed, again, a midterm election, we thought it would be an issue, but it turned out to be a dynamite issue. Apparently, it's still got a fuse lit, or at least in a special election like we saw yesterday. Where's it going to play in the general election when they're voting for president and legislators again?
Make no mistake that Democrats on the state and national level are going to try and use this to pull people onto their side in the general election. And the corporate media is more than willing to help. I mean, if you open any news page today, they're talking about how this is a significant win for abortion rights and, you know, the Roe v. Wade crowd is back and better than ever. And nothing could be further from the truth, which is why people in red states and pro-lifers need to start telling the truth about this radical abortion proposal now. They need to start telling it in states that they don't even think are threatened by this, and they need to work very hard to keep it off of the ballot.
The other thing being is that you mentioned it at least twice, this Ohio abortion, now part of the Constitution, up to the moment of birth, they were originally looking at, I think, 15 weeks, maybe 13 weeks. Let's consider it up to there, you know, but beyond that, no. And now that you're saying right to the moment of birth again.
Exactly. I mean, fetal viability, this term that they use in the issue, isn't actually defined. And it allows the subjective judgment of a doctor to override any restrictions that the Ohio State Legislature passes. So this far exceeds what anyone in Ohio truly wants, according to polls and according to the way they voted in the past. Yet it happened, and it's now enshrined in the Constitution, which in Ohio, Constitution stuff isn't repealed often, if at all. So this is very unprecedented. This is very heartbreaking for the pro-life movement, and Ohioans and Republican states everywhere should be very concerned.
All right, well, we're going to see if it's going to continue a one-vote issue going into the general election. Jordan Boyd with The Federalist, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You bet. And one other thing I might add for the audience, you have to keep in mind a lot of those PLO demonstrators that were all over D.C. crying about the babies being killed in Palestine, they support abortion to kill a baby before it's born. Just want to remind you of that. Well, of course, Donald Trump was on the stand yesterday in his civil trial. The judge already ruled you're guilty of inflating your financial forms. Now I'm just trying to consider punishment. One Fox analysis gave her assessment.
I were to give you the headline out of yesterday, I would say the fix is in. The way they are applying the law against the former president in a way they have never applied the law to anyone else in New York State. Our brain room found that. We have lawyers on that research team. They said they could not find a single instance of New York prosecuting and convicting someone for inflating their real estate value, the assets, without a victim. That's what's happening here. The way the attorney general has been conducting herself is also highly unusual, inappropriate, even attending trial each day. AGs don't attend trials. They have a lot going on, and they're doing that on the tax taxpayer's dime. So for her to be setting aside everything she has to be doing every day as she does her job in New York to just sit there and smile and make statements to the press is just, it's so unusual, this whole thing.
It is unusual. And in fact, Ivanka Trump is testifying or has testified today, and no cameras were allowed. As when Donald Trump or Donald Trump Jr. or Eric Trump were there, they had allowed no images of Ivanka Trump in the trial today. And I say trial, it's a loose, misused, abused term. The judge had already said, you're guilty. You're guilty. There's no trial. The question to the Fox analyst again, do you think he's been railroaded?
I thought he did a good job. I thought he was smart. I thought he was sharp. You really saw that business side of him come out. And the two points that he kept coming back to was, first, if anything, I undervalued my properties. Now, of course, and that's very Trump-like, but I think there is something to be said for that, given the fact that this court, or I'm sorry, the AG's office found that Mar-a-Lago is valued at $18 million. That's laughable. Anybody looking at Mar-a-Lago knows it's not $18 million. Now, Trump has said it's worth $1 billion. I don't know. Maybe it's something in the middle, but it's certainly not $18 million. So he was very angry in court, telling the judge they haven't done their job. They don't know how to value properties. They haven't done this. Why did they not do this properly?
And the other point here, and again, you were listening then to Fox News analyst Carrie Kubik, and she said what they've done here is absolutely maybe an injustice. There's so many rooms for appeals within the judge already making a ruling before he really gets the testimony from Donald Trump, Eric Trump, Donald Trump Jr., now Ivanka. And by the way, Ivanka went right to the stand because she had previously been dismissed as a defendant, so she was able to go direct to the witness stand, as any other witness would, but cameras were not allowed in at that point. It was being played differently. What she said is not going to make any difference because you got Letitia James, who I want to show you and remind you again the mindset of Letitia James, and this goes for many anti-Trumpers. This would include some, quote, Republicans. And I don't care if you're plus or minus Trump, but where's fairness? Letitia James, in an interview in August 2019 on Rachel Maddow, and then again a rally in July 2017 when she was running for office. Listen, you're going to hear the same message.
The President of the United States has complained that I'm engaging in some sort of political witch hunt, that I've got some personal vendetta against him, that I campaigned against him. That is not true.
I look forward to going into the office of Attorney General every day, suing him, defending your rights, and then going home.
We're
going
to be a real pain in the ass.
And we will rise up together, and we will resist this president that ultimately will bring him down.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, Donald Trump has to go. And that was not campaigning to get rid of Trump, have a vendetta against him? You're trapped by your own words, but that's okay because state-controlled media will give you a pass and let it slide. They will forget that. But right here on Larry Connors USA, we do not forget. There are no sacred cows, and we do not forget anyone, I don't care what party affiliation they are, when they step over the line. I call them out. And that's why I appreciate having you as an audience, because you know I'm going to be as truthful and direct as I can. But don't just take my word for it. Check anything. I'd encourage you always to do that. I want to go back to this censor against Rashida Tlaib, and also how votes went down against Republicans yesterday.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry. Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I've bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Must be the whiskey. I've been drinking to remember and drinking to forget. I got I love you on my mind. I got Jim Beam on my breath and loneliness has got the rest. I've got nothing left within me. Must be the whiskey.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Chanting from the river to the sea is calling for the eradication of Israel. I would hardly define that as aspirational. My colleague, Representative Rashida Tlaib, has parroted the talking points and the message of Hamas, a terrorist organization whose sworn mission is the destruction of Israel and the eradication of the Jewish people. Israel is our strongest ally in the Middle East, a beacon of hope, peace, and liberty in the region. The oppressor of the Palestinian people is Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. So if you want Palestinians to be free, reject Hamas. Reject the Palestinian Authority. Demand Hamas surrender.
That's what we've been saying repeatedly. If you really want things to come to an end and stop the bombing of Gaza, Hamas should surrender. But I have yet to hear a single Democrat cry out, Hamas, you must surrender, because they want to protect this PLO, Palestine, from the river to the sea attitude. And, of course, they want to claim again that they were cheated out of their land. You can argue that debate. I don't care. Have the debate. But you don't have to be killing children, civilians, to do it. Except in the minds of Hamas, that's the only way to do it. And they definitely believe that they have, at this point, been winning the battle. Even though they are locked down in their caves, still hiding under baby cribs, and putting their weapons inside and under hospitals, they think they are winning. Is that how you define winning? To me, that's how you define being a coward, which is exactly what these terrorists are. You think they would ever want to really want to face someone who might fire back at them and maybe try to kill them? Not really, no, not really, because that doesn't fit with our attitude and our approach, and that is kill the innocent people. And at the same time, make an effort to step forward and say, everybody that we hate, we have a right to kill. I'll take you back again to what New York Times is quoting some of the Hamas leaders that they've talked to, two of them. And I'm going to read the statement directly. This is from the New York Times after talking to a couple of the Hamas leaders that they met in Qatar. Their statements being, we want to change the entire equation, not just have one clash. We succeeded in putting the Palestinian issue back on the table. Now no one else in the region is experiencing calm. They wanted chaos. They got chaos. And then one of the others said, I hope the state of war with Israel will become permanent on all the borders, and the Arab world will stand with us. And they even then add, this battle was not because we wanted fuel or labor. It did not seek to improve the situation in Gaza. Those of you supporting Palestinians, did you hear that statement? They say it did not seek to improve the situation in Gaza. They don't care about the Palestinians. The battle, they say, is, quote, to completely overthrow the situation being Israel. How many of you got duped into believing, oh, the PLO's got to be right about this? Oh, yeah, they killed some children, but they had a cause and a reason. No, they didn't, and they're not going to stop. And when you tell Israel to cease fire, you're basically operating and giving an opportunity for Hamas to look for these additional opportunities. And I'll remind you again, when they say killing Israel, they're talking about Jews all over the world. That would include in this country. And we know the Ayatollah and Iran is running all these terrorist groups, and they have shouted directly, even after getting a bundle of money unfrozen that was going to go to them by Biden before this happened, knowing they've got the money supposedly coming, they were still shouting, death to America, death to America. You want to give money to people like that? Are you absolutely out of your head? Ah, that was a wasted question, wasted my breath and your brain cell. It didn't waste any brain cells in the White House because you're not going to find any. Now, how will the Israeli situation play going forward in the election? We just had Jordan Boyd of the Federalist on talking about the abortion issue, and then followed that with the Trump trial, as you might call it. How will the continuous persecution of Donald Trump, whether or not you like him, do you believe in justice, how much of that will play into the election coming up? And, of course, we still have to see, is Biden actually going to be the guy? You got Newsom running around like, hey, I'm kind of here. Philadelphia Senator Fetterman even called out Newsom, another Democrat, saying, why don't you have the courage to speak up and say you're a shadow candidate for Biden? Fetterman said that. And he also was being yelled down on a stage by folks who think he was not standing strong enough with the PLO. And he said, huh, the joke's on you. I've had a heart attack. I can't hear and understand what you're saying. As silly as I think this guy could be, some of the things he say, I'm almost applauding. All right, now, in Ohio, with the vote going down as it did to accept basically a state constitution amendment to allow abortions up to the moment of birth and to allow transsexual operations on children and to not require parental consent, and it passed by 60%, I had the numbers up against me earlier, I might have put them aside, but 62%, but it was an off-season election. I'm not going to say that's a reason because we saw what happened in the midterm, but that was right after Roe v. Wade. Will that issue still be that viable, no pun intended, going into the general election? For some people, it will be. It's a one issue for them. Fifty-seven of the voters rejected an initiative that would require the threshold to amend state constitution with a simple majority of 60%. That was not directly about abortion, kind of a proxy battle. But then the Ohio decision to protect it by a state constitution, that did get passed. Abortion is currently legal through 22 weeks in Ohio, and that was a big reason for a turnout. 3.9 million votes turning out, and most of them were one-issue oriented. How does that portray going forward to the general election? Let me give the assessment of the enemy voice, CNN. And they say, for all the sound and fury around Tuesday's elections, there was one clear signal. Abortion rights are politically popular no matter where or when they are on the ballot. And that, no matter how you slice it, is good news for Democrats as parties plot their strategies ahead of the 2024 election. And then they pointed out Governor Glenn Youngkin, the Virginia Republican who believed he could crack one of the most intractable issues in American politics with the promise of reasonable abortion restrictions. He will not lead a GOP-controlled legislature in the Commonwealth because they got flipped out. In Kentucky, the Democrat governor defeated his Republican challenger. The state attorney general with close ties to former President Donald Trump. So were they voting against the state attorney general and the Democrat governor came out on top, or do they really care? A lot of the people in Kentucky have seen Governor Beshear as a good guy and doing the best he can, and he kept saying, Biden is not part of my strategy. In other words, he could not and would not defend what Biden did. So the question that CNN raises, as Ohio goes, so goes the nation. Well, they answered immediately. Tuesday night's election results probably will not change the equation for Biden in 2024. They say, what about Sherrod Brown, Sandra Brown, the Ohio Democrat facing a difficult reelection run next year? But outcome from the Buckeye State might give him a boost. Pointing out that red, blue, purple states have all greenlit similar proposals as Ohio did. And in the end, they point out Ohio Republicans might have gotten off easy. In Arizona, activists gathering signatures for a 2024 ballot initiative asking voters a similar question already has Republicans in that state kind of concern. Then we have a potential swing states, Pennsylvania, Iowa, Florida, Colorado, could have abortion right measures on their ballots in the presidential issue coming up. And then Glenn Youngkin in Virginia hitting a wall, stating his bandwagon ran off the road last night when Virginia voters denied the governor and his party the legislative majorities that they needed. So we got Andy Beshear winning re-election in Kentucky, but who lost? Well, was it Trump or the candidate running against him, Donald Cameron? They say it's Democrats' big night despite Biden's weak polling. May I state that again? Even CNN states Democrats' big night despite Biden's weak polling. Now, how much of this will hold together going into the general election? There was a New York Times Siena College survey released over the weekend and said the picture is very grim for Biden in the battleground state surveys. And, of course, Trump is a runaway in any of the surveys dealing just with the GOP primary. They also point out, according to CNN, history-making wins in Rhode Island and Philadelphia. They say the Democrat Amal projected winner Rhode Island's congressional district, first black person to represent that state in Congress. Philadelphia, a former city council member, becomes the first woman to lead the city of brotherly love and shootings. She'll be the city's fourth black mayor in its 100-year-long history. And Philadelphia, like many blue cities and states, continue to have numerous problems. How much of crime is going to fit into the issue for voters when they go forward? How much is our open border? And if there dare be a terrorist attack on this nation's soil before the election, who are people going to vote for? Are they going to vote for the Biden administration, whoever is representing that record? Or will they maybe even begrudgingly vote for Trump? Don't bother bringing up Robert Kennedy. Not likely. No one else is really going to have the numbers. They may have enough numbers to split some votes, but that's an entirely different story. All right, let me turn my attention to another item here for you. Our military academies have gone woke. When we're supposed to be training officers to lead in combat, they've been spending a lot of time on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. But the Air Force Academy superintendent doesn't even understand what he's pushing. That's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
What's demigender?
Sir, that's a term of the people that are eligible for that particular scholarship that is available.
What's a demigender person?
It's a person who looks at their gender in a different way than I do, sir.
Well, sure, that's all of these people. You're a cisgender man. You don't even get to apply.
You don't even get to apply. That was Florida Representative Congressman Matt Gaetz back this last summer talking to the Academy Commander, Air Force Academy Commander, and asking him the question about your DEI program and asking about a particular program that's being offered as a scholarship and asking how are you going to define these people that you say can apply and when you cannot even describe it. Now, that was just a snippet of again. This was Lieutenant General Richard M. Clark being questioned. And on one hand, I feel for him because he's kind of been pushed into this. I would bet to say the Lieutenant General is not in favor of spending all this time on this kind of nonsense. You don't go to the Air Force Academy to learn your pronoun and what else you might need. But this offer of this fellowship, Brooks Owens Fellowship that Gaetz is referring to, says it's opening its space to women and gender minority students at aerospace, and then goes on to talk about if you're a cisgender woman, transgender woman, non-binary, agender, bigender, two-spirit, demigender, gender fluid, gender queer, or another form of gender minority, this program is for you. Well, let's pick up again and go through a little bit more detail of Florida Congressman Gaetz questioning the Air Force Academy superintendent.
What's demigender?
Sir, that's a term of the people that are eligible for that particular scholarship that
what's
is available.
A demigender person?
It's a person who looks at their gender in a different way than I do, sir.
Well, sure, that's all of these people. You're a cisgender man. You don't even get to apply.
Well,
do you know what demigender really means?
I'm not really sure, sir.
Right. So, do you know what agender means? All one word, not a space gender, but a gender.
Sir, I don't.
Right, so here we are pushing a fellowship, calling for people that you don't even know what the words mean, and the number one group of people, the cisgender men, are excluded. In the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion, should we be pushing programs that we can't define that exclude the largest group of service members?
And I would say no, hell no. Oh, by the way, Purdue believes he's come up with a clever way to combat criticism about chicken production. Sell humans practically the same food it feeds the chickens. It's called Chick Mix, a new snack made from most of the same ingredients as in the chicken feed. Not going to become a revenue driver, they think, but still it might be a good marketing opportunity. May I add something? If someone says it tastes like chicken, but it ain't chicken, you probably don't want it. Reminding you, we are, of course, only doing this 1 hour today because coming up immediately, the GOP debate, and I'm headed to Westport to join the crowd there. You are welcome as well to Westport Theater for a debate watch party, and following that, news analysis on News Talk STL. As always, thanks for listening, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.